Shall we open with prayer? Father God Almighty, thank you, Lord, for the gift of life. Thank you, Lord, for a new morning. Thank you for joy being here, for joy cometh in the morning, Lord. Thank you, Father God Almighty, for blessing us, Father God, with the opportunity of being together, being able to recline around your word, Father God Almighty. Thank you for everyone being here that's present, Father God, and thank you for all those listening. Father God, I just speak for, I call upon your Holy Spirit, Father God, to come and anoint the words that I'm about to speak, Father God. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee, Father God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Good morning, brethren. It's a privilege and a joy for me to stand here this morning. And also a little bit of an emotional morning, an emotional period for me, you know, this past few weeks. Because as you guys know, my family and I, we are busy saying goodbye to Solomon Sport. As we are being relocated back home after our 4-year stint here in Hong Kong. But be that as it may, please, for those who can hear that my voice is a bit hoarse, please excuse me. I had a bout of laryngitis yesterday. And it took some faith for me to just keep on standing to deliver the message this morning, a devotional this morning. Because as it is, I'm standing in for Ian. And I thought to myself, how can I be standing in for someone that I need to arrange for a stand-in for myself, you know, the substitute of the substitute. And also considering of what I'm speaking on this morning, I thought it quite important that I stand in faith so that I could speak this morning. So praise God, my voice is a lot better than yesterday. Yesterday when I dropped off a couple of things at the office, Piandro asked me, how are you going to speak tomorrow morning? Because I could only whisper to them yesterday morning. So praise God. My topic of for discussion this morning is believe. Believe, and my base scripture for the topic is Hebrews 11 verses 1 and 2. Most of the time whenever I speak on something, I like to refer to the dictionary terms of what the meaning of the word is. So let's go to the dictionary and see what the meaning of the word believe is. And according to the dictionary, to believe is to accept that something is true, especially without proof. I'll read it again. To believe is to accept that something is true, especially without proof. Now, in my mind, when I started talking about this, when the Holy Spirit gave me the topic, as I was searching for a topic, what to speak on, it immediately made me think of a very popular scripture. If it doesn't make you think of this very popular scripture, don't worry. I too had to look it up. I knew of the scripture, but I can't always remember exactly which scripture it is. But I too had to look it up. But I was and still am aware of the scripture. And that scripture is Hebrews 11 verse 1 and 2. I'm going to read the translation from the Amplified. The Amplified translation, just in case you didn't know, is the Bible that takes you to heaven. If you have an Amplified Bible, then you're guaranteed to go to heaven. Now, Hebrews 11 verse 1 and 2. Now faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of the things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. Verse 2, for by this kind of faith the man of old gained divine approval. And, you know, we need to embrace and accept that all people of all kinds, of all walks within the house of the Lord. So I accommodate those who prefers the message. So the message translation reads, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd. And just quickly, let's quickly also just read the King James Version, which I think is the most popular translation known on the scripture, is now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. So you might ask yourself, so why are we talking about faith again? Because believe, as we heard what the dictionary interpretation is, that it's faith. It's to believe in something that you don't have evidence for. So let me answer the question, and thank you for asking it, but let me answer the question. The reason why we're talking about faith again, it's the focus of the house. It follows Sunday's message on the gift of faith. And it is something that my wife and I, Marilyn and I, have been tested on with on several occasions and at several different levels. And with the evidence behind us, we were so encouraged, I thought, let me encourage you this morning. So what is the difference between faith and hope? Because many a day when we have the discussion about faith, hope also comes up. So what's the difference between faith and hope? This, according to the Gospel of Google, faith at its core is deep-rooted in the expectation of good things to come. It goes beyond hope. While much of hope lives in the mind, faith is steeped in the heart and the spirit. It can't be explained away by reason or logic or be understood through a single dimension. While life can be hard at times, at the best of times, faith is the knowledge deep down inside that things will get better. It's taking the next step when you can't see the entire staircase. Simply put, life would fail to have reason if we didn't have faith. I'm sure many of us can identify with that. Because in many a spiritual class or teaching or an education process, we are being taught and the example is made of taking the next step without seeing the staircase. So why is faith so important? Sometimes when things don't go according to plan, we lose faith. Not only in ourselves, but also in any potential outcome in our lives. And failure will do that to you. When we experience life's monumental failures, it's easy to lose hope and even faith. And I think that is underscored by a scripture in Proverbs. Proverbs 13 verse 12, just paraphrased, hope deferred makes the heart sick. So we've all gone through experiences where we had faith in something, where we placed a belief in something beyond just hope. Because we are Christians and that's how we've been taught and that's how we know. It's part and parcel of who we are. But it does hurt us. It does hurt our spirit when we believe in something and it doesn't come to pass. But I'm not here to tell you about when we lose faith. I want to tell you about and remind you of how we can have faith. I want to share with you with regards to how do we keep the faith. But in doing that, I want to remind you of how many times a day you actually have faith without even knowing it. We wouldn't be able to drive our cars without faith. Because what guarantee do we have that someone's not going to come across the divider on the highway and come crashing into us? So we've got faith that the rules of the law, the law of the road will be abided by and no one's going to come crashing into us. I mean, how could we fly in an aeroplane? A metallic machine soaring at 35,000 feet without faith? I don't think so. So you don't realize it, but you exercise faith every day by doing mundane things like getting into an aeroplane. Without faith, how can we move from one moment to the next without completely second-guessing every last thing that we did? I mean, without faith, we couldn't expect that things would turn out all right for us no matter what the situation is. That's just how it is. And if you think, okay, there is perhaps silly examples with regards to everyday life, let's make reference to the Word of God. In Genesis, God said, let there be light. Have you ever had one day or one night when you've gone to bed and you wondered, I wonder if there's going to be light tomorrow? Is there going to be sunshine tomorrow? Is there going to be daylight tomorrow? You never wonder that. You just know it's going to be there. It's a knowing. It's It's a trust in God's word. It's a trust in how things work around us. It's an exercise of faith. In Genesis, God separated the animals to the sea, land, and air. Did you ever wake up one day and wonder if the birds will start living underwater, the fish run on the soil, and the land animals will start flying? We don't. There's a few laws that God spoke into being, and we just accept that. That's having faith. In the book of John, God speaks over his son Jesus, in he whom he is proud of. Do you ever doubt that? Do you ever doubt that God is proud of Jesus? We didn't see or physically meet Jesus, but do you ever doubt that God is proud of him? No, we don't. That's an exercise of faith. Now, if faith is so arbitrary as it comes across, and as we read, we exercise faith, and obviously you can relate this to many other things. There's lots of other things that we have faith in where we exercise faith. I mean, when you drive your car, you do realize when you're going to step on the clutch and you change the gear from first to second, it's going to go into a higher gear. You do accept that the car will be able to accelerate better. You don't think about it. You don't even try to figure it out. You don't want to reason it. You just believe it because that's how the car is designed to be. So if a man on earth can design a process, a man on earth can design something in which we depend on so much and we use and we don't even question it. Don't you think that we're actually exercising faith in that very thing that a man on earth actually designed? Now, if we have faith in that thing that a man on earth designed, how much more should we have faith in the things that Father says? How much more faith should we exercise what the Word teaches us? And the question that I do have here is to us all, and I mean the question is to myself as well. Why do we, especially us Christians, devout believers, as we call ourselves, so often lack faith when it comes to what God speaks over us or through someone? Many a day someone will speak a prophetic word over you, and then, man, you'll receive it in the moment when, let's say it's in the sermon or pray after the sermon, and then tomorrow morning then you start doubting. God will speak through the voice of the pastor or your house church leader or someone in your house church, and then the next day you doubt it, then you question. It's like, is this real? Can this really be me? So why do we doubt? And my answer, I'm going to just venture. I'm not saying this is you. Maybe not you, but for me, I think one of the key reasons why we lack faith is that we don't follow the examples of our ancestors. And we don't follow the example. And when I say ancestors, I'm referring to our ancestors of faith. I'm referring to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I'm referring to King David. I'm referring to Jesus, our brother, who is our Redeemer, but also our brother and our intercessor for the things that we pray. And he takes everything that we pray for in faith to Father God. He's because he's seated at God's right hand side on the table, at the table, and he takes everything in faith. But why is it that we lack faith? And like I say, it's because we don't follow the examples of these ancestors of ours. And also we don't follow the example as captured in the instruction manual of life. And that manual is called the Word, the Bible. And even more closer to home, we don't follow the example or the challenge as set by our pastor, Pastor Samuel Song. Of his many mannerisms and popular quotes, one of the quotes that my wife and I really like about him is, "Hey man, be biblical." When in doubt, be biblical. PCM says that. And what does he mean by this when he says, "Hey man, be biblical"? My understanding of that is, he asks of us what the Word says to a situation. So when you don't know what to do, be biblical. Follow the Word. Follow what the Word says. What he's saying by that statement, he says, when in doubt, go according to the manual of life. what he's asking of us when he says, hey man, be biblical. He's asking of us to believe in the word of God. And that's his position. That's his authority and that's his place. He's our pastor. He's our overseer. So he challenges us to that. And it's a good challenge, I think. So where's the evidence of this kind of faith? Where just be biblical, you know? Just follow the word. Just be biblical. Jesus, he believed his Father. He died for us and he rose again so that we may have everlasting life. That's in the scripture, John, the book of John. Abram believed God. He had faith. And his descendants were as many as the stars, just as promised in the book of Genesis. He couldn't see it. God called him out and said, go to the land that I'm going to point out to you. And he just walked. He had faith. He trusted. And I mean, the reason why I believe Abram is the father of faith, yeah, he trusted God and whatever. But somebody introduced himself through a voice and said, I am. I am. And that's all he had to go on. He didn't have a Bible. He didn't have a reference book. He didn't have the word. He only had, I am. And he had to trust, I am. Esther believed God, and she became the queen, and her people were saved. That's in the book of Esther. Enoch believed God, and he was taken to heaven without dying. Oh, another popular believer is Moses. Moses believed God, and he parted the Red Sea so that God's people could get freedom in the book of Exodus. And just on Sunday, PSAM spoke about Noah. I mean, Noah had to have a tremendous amount of faith as well to build an ark in a desert-like environment. And God saved him and his family from the flood just because he believed. Joseph believed. And God saved him from his brothers, saved him from a certain death, and rescued him from a prison. And he became the ruler of Egypt by managing the finances of Pharaoh. Daniel believed, and the mouths of the lions were closed in the book of Daniel. So there are many examples. Rahab, she believed God, and her family was also saved from the fall of Jericho in the book of Joshua. So we can see that when we want to learn and we want to see how to have faith, there's many examples within the Bible, many examples on how to exercise faith. And many of these examples of exercising faith was in the circumstance where there was no evidence whatsoever. There was only a word of God. The only thing that is the common denominator throughout the examples of having faith is the word of God. It's the only common denominator. God spoke. God spoke either through a voice of himself. God spoke either through a prophet. God spoke either through an angel. But everywhere you find where people exercise faith, it was when the word of God was spoken. And in the beginning, there was more angels and the voice of God itself. But later on, it became more prevalent through the voice of prophets. And in the lives that we live today, we know that there are those with a gift of prophecy amongst us. So they speak the word of God. So we ought to then believe when we receive this word of God. I'd like to relate a couple of things to things that happened in my life. And there's been a lot of incidences of where I needed to exercise faith. A few years, many years ago, not so many, but maybe what? Ooh, I must think now. It was in 2008, yeah, with the recession. When the recession was on, I just started a new company, and I worked for a lot of blue chip corporate companies. And I mean, it's global blue chip corporate companies, not just South African companies. They are global companies. I worked as a consultant for them, and I did lots of work. Man, my books looked good. My books looked so good. But my bank account didn't look good. Many of these guys, because I worked for them, they owed me a couple of hundred thousand here and a couple of hundred thousand there. And because there was a recession, I was not one of their priority debtors. I was not a priority. They first took care of all their big bills because the guys who they owe big money are able to take them to court. And for nearly 2 years, I worked with getting no pay whatsoever. I was not being paid by my clients. It's clients I can't take to court. I didn't have the money to take them to court. But the accumulative value of the clients that owed me was in the millions for me. Because it's a few hundred thousand there and a few hundred thousand here and, and a few tens of thousands here and tens of thousands there. But it was in the millions for me. And that meant the world to me and my family. I started my business with my life savings. And then things just started going pear-shaped. I had to start selling off assets, possessions that we had. Our house was mortgaged. And I had two other houses that I also bought to generate extra income. But then because of pressure, I had to sell those. I had to sell the extra cars that we had. We had three cars, so I had to sell the other two cars so we can just hold on to one. And I had to start selling lots of other valuable things so I could just maintain living our life for me and my family. But it was going pear-shaped. And then eventually the bank wanted to foreclose on our house. Our house was advertised. Now, when a house is foreclosed in South Africa, it gets advertised in the Gazette, Government Gazette. And we prayed to God. And man, I was emotional. And we just spent a lot of money. I just spent a lot of money after we purchased the house. We had the house for a few years and I expanded on the house. We renovated the house, made it bigger, more comfortable and all that. But then we stood on the doorstep of losing this house. And Marin and I just kept on praying and just kept on praying. And we didn't know what to do. And we said, in the absence of God's voice, in the absence of a word of God, we're going to just keep on standing until God says something. We stood and we stood and we stood. And eventually, the day came that was the day before that they're going to auction the house. And I cried to God. Because eventually I had to start homeschooling my kids. Our kids were in a private school and I couldn't afford that anymore. So I had to homeschool the kids. And the private school they were in was a Christian school. So I didn't want to mess up their understanding and their position towards God. So I homeschooled and I consulted from home. And we let go of our domestic helper. I was cleaning house and I was doing everything. I was everything. I was jack of all trades. But I had no satisfaction in my heart because I wasn't getting remunerated. And the day before, we prayed and said, Lord, it's now the day before, so we're giving up this house. If this house is a monument that you want us to give up, we're giving it up. We're giving it back to you. So all that we ask, Lord, is that we don't stand embarrassed. So when they foreclose on your house, they advertise it in the community so everybody knows that house is going to be auctioned. Not once did they put up the boards that our house was going to be auctioned. And that was a prayer that we prayed all the time. Lord, we don't want to stand embarrassed. And according to law, I must allow people access the day before if they want to come and have a look at the house so they know what they're going to be bidding for because they can also bid via telephone. So when people came to want to gain access to come and have a look at the house, I said to them, no. And all I said to them, please, I am not breaking the law. I am standing in faith. Please don't come in and come and have a look at the house. God didn't tell me yet that we must release the house. And there was actually one gentleman that said to me, he understands my position. He was in a similar position. And God taught him a new thing. And he's a multimillionaire now by buying up homes that's on, houses that's on foreclosure. That day, I received several telephone calls. I had to have a few. I needed to have a substantial amount of money to take the house off the list. I received a few. We didn't tell anybody. We didn't ask for money from any of our brothers. We didn't tell anybody. When people looked at us and when they asked us to contribute towards something and we said we didn't have money, they would say, they started gossiping. How can we not have money? We live so well. They didn't even see that we are going through strife. Then I received a few telephone calls from some of my brothers in my church. They didn't know a thing. The one just said to me, God spoke to me and said, I must give you X amount. The minute I was done there, I received a call from another brother. God spoke to me and said, you need this, so I'm giving you this. And so it went on, I eventually had to go pick up my kids from the extracurricular activities because I still had them in extracurricular activities. And you know what? 3:30 that afternoon, I had enough money to remove the house from the auction the next morning. Without telling a single soul, we just believed. And you might say, yeah, that's a nice and great event, but it's not something that happens every day. On another occasion, I was challenged to go under surgery on my feet, and I didn't want to go for the surgery. My feet were both deformed, and I already had surgery on my feet for a back problem that I have, and I didn't want to go for the surgery. I went to go see the specialist. We had the pre-surgery inspection the weekend before the surgery, and man, I was challenged by it. And that weekend, I cried. I said, Lord, no, I don't want this. My wife and I prayed. Madeline and I prayed. The Tuesday when I went to the doctor, to the surgeon to go for, to be admitted to hospital, she asked me to which surgeon did I go to because who fixed my feet? It was only prayer. We only believed. And there's many other instances of things that we were challenged with. And the only thing we had to stand on was faith. On one occasion, I was challenged by the health condition of my brother. My brother fell into a coma. He fell ill. He was attacked, and I believe it was an attack. I know that it was an attack by the enemy. And he fell into a coma, and their neighbors called me because his wife asked them to call me. And they were there praying, and he was in a coma in his house, in his bed. When I got there, it was him, his pastor and his pastor's wife, and other pastors in his life that were there. And as we were driving there, I'm asking Lord, Father God, I'm asking the Holy Spirit, what am I to do? What are we to do? And I just tell Marilyn, encourage her, my dear, let's just keep praying. Father's going to give us a word. Now, eventually I stopped in front of his house. Still no word. Well, I walk into the house. I believe and like, still no word. I walk into the room. Still no word. And I'm like, Lord, what am I doing here? And then the Holy Spirit said, send out everybody in this room who does not have faith for him to heal. Now, that was a big challenge for me. This room is filled with pastors and the pastors' wives. And I must tell them now, if you don't have faith, you must walk out. Well, I mean, what else can I do? I didn't know what to do. So I had to do that. I said, he who does not have enough faith for my brother to get healed now, they need to walk out. And everybody walked out except his lead pastor. And when we prayed, there was no praying in tongues. I wanted to pray in tongues because that's what we spiritual people do. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, stop that. Just call your brother. And I'm like, how do I call him? You know his name? Call him by his name. Just call him. I called my brother, I think 5 or 6 times. And then he woke up. Out of a coma. When the paramedics arrived, they were shocked that the person that was announced to be in a coma, because the neighbor, I think the neighbor was a nurse or something, and she confirmed, they were in shock that this person was having a conversation with them. That's how Father is able to do what he says. What his word says it's going to do. Father promised us when we came to Hong Kong, now that we are leaving, he promised us he's going to prepare a place for us and it's going to feel like home, as in back home where we're from. And yeah, you know you have faith. You have faith, but yeah, it's just going to be another community. We grew and fell so deeply in love in this community called Solomon's Porch. Father made so sure that we were comfortable when we walked in here the first day when we attended service here in Solomon's Porch. PCM actually made jokes the same as my pastor back home, speaking about knuckleheads and whatever. My pastor just calls it a different name. He calls it a ding-a-ling. And the types of jokes he makes, it was exactly the same. And then we knew, Marilyn, I just looked at each other and we knew, like, Father said he was going to make us feel as if we were back home. So the encouragement that I want to share with you this morning is the words and a quote that P. Sam says quite a bit. Hey man, be biblical. Just believe. When the word of God is spoken, when Father speaks a word over you, just believe. Yeah, it is difficult many a day, but just believe. Let's follow the example of these kings and queens of our faith and display of how to believe and trust in God. Like I said, Rahab, Esther, Moses, Noah, so many of them to follow. Let's trust each other because we are in relationship. Let's encourage one another. through the test, our testimonies, like I'm sharing my testimony with you now, because Apostle Paul writes that the body will be encouraged through the speaking of tongue and speaking in tongues and the testimonies that we have. So let's testify to one another. Let's share our testimonies with regards to the things that we've overcome. Let's not keep that private and say, oh, I don't want to speak up. That's another lie from the enemy. Oh, I don't want to speak up. I don't want to sound as if I'm bragging. No, you're not bragging. You're bragging about God. Get your mindset right. You're not bragging about yourself. Get the mindset right. You're talking about the good things that God has done in your life. So speak about that in your brethren, in your communities. It encourages people. Let us believe the words the Holy Spirit reveals about us. When the Holy Spirit speaks either to us directly or through a brother. When we're in a house church setting and one of our brethren speaks prophetic words over us. Let's believe that. So you might ask yourself, so how do I conquer this when I'm on my own? How do I get encouraged when I'm on my own? I suppose then you're asking the question towards the next message. And the next message is pray. Jesus prayed, not my will, Father, but yours be done. That's in Luke 22:42b. Not my will, Lord, but your will be done. And if we pray the prayer, Father God, let your will be done in our lives. We are praying the prayer that inherently means, Lord, I'm going to believe in what you believe and what you've spoken over me. So if we say that in our prayer life, then we need to exercise it in our physical lives. Because faith, although something spiritual, something that comes from the Spirit, is exercised in the physical. So then we've got to act and do things with the belief of that thing that was spoken in the Spirit. We've got to act and do the things that aligns with that thing that was spoken in the Spirit. And when we start acting and believing according to, in the physical, according to that thing that was spoken in the Spirit, then it starts manifesting within our physical lives. When God speaks healing, it starts manifesting. It was a challenge of faith for me. As I'm standing here in front of you, I've got 2 slip discs. I've been getting treatment. I'm not healed yet, but I'm walking into my healing. And I've been doing things this past 3 weeks since I've been diagnosed with this, believing that I've got healing. I was prayed over. I accept that. I accept that healing is busy manifesting in my life because it doesn't always happen the same. Yes, I do go for treatment. I go to an osteopath that manipulates my body. Yesterday, I didn't have a voice to speak. Here I am. I'm speaking with a voice. I apologized in the beginning. I just realized now my voice is a lot better than what I started. Faith is just walking it out. And I mean, I'm no special person. I'm just like you. So let's just walk out our faith. Let's believe. Let's believe, Father, when he speaks over us. I'd like to invite Marcus to come and lead us in worship. But allow me to just quickly say a prayer. Father God Almighty, I have just been so convicted by the words that I've just spoken now, Lord, that I know, Father God Almighty, that in the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, you've pointed out to me on various occasions where I lacked faith as well. And Father, I just want to ask for your forgiveness, Father. I want to repent not believing your word, Father God Almighty. I want to repent, Father God, sometimes when we get injured or when we start falling ill, Father God, then immediately the first thing we do is we accept that illness, Father God. We say, oh, I've got a flu. We accept that, oh, I can't walk because I've got a slip disc, Father God. But Lord, I'm so sorry for doubting you. And I thank you, Father God, that you speak into my heart and you speak into my life through people around me, through my loving family here in Solomon's Porch, Father God Almighty. I want to thank you, Father God Almighty, that I trust that the words that I've spoken now, Father God, you're going to take them, Lord, and you're going to root them into our hearts. You're going to root them into my heart, Father God, so I can uproot, Father God, the disbelief and lack of faith. So to my brothers and sisters listening to the word, Father God. So Lord, I ask that you just speak to each of us, Father God, individually in our hearts. And you take us to the next level of faith to believe in you and in your word. Amen.
Mountaintop, look looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us, kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory is your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory is your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, never once did we ever walk alone. Carried by your constant grace, held within your perfect peace, never once. No, we dare walk. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Every step we are breathing in your grace, evermore we'll be breathing out your praise. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Every step we are breathing in your grace, evermore we'll be breathing out your praise. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. You are faithful, God, you are faithful.
Oh, Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for being such a faithful Father, that where we lack faith, Father God Almighty, you have faith in us. You know that, Father God Almighty, that that we, from time to time, have very little faith, sometimes even no faith, Father God, but you always have faith in us. So thank you for believing in us, Father God. Thank you for looking at us through your looking lenses and not our lenses, Father God, that is so filthy we can't even see, Father God. Father God Almighty, I just want to come as a, we just want to come as a corporate to come and pray, Father God Almighty, over our community. So Father God Almighty, we want to raise up those in a community with cancer and pray over them, Lord. We also want to pray over those in our community who is suffering from illness but also need salvation. Let's call for the laborers of the harvest to walk into their lives, to not only just speak a word of healing to them, but also speak a word that reveals the love of Christ to them, and that they will be the ones who testifies about the goodness of God and the healing power. We also pray for those in our community with infirmities, suffering from infirmities. And let's make a declaration that this list has to become shorter. This list has got to disappear. Let's pray, let's believe, let's have faith. Let's cast our faith over these, our brethren. Let's cast our faith over a word that God has spoken. God said that He wants us to have good lives, full lives, without any ailments. And let's believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us so that we can have a full life and a life in abundance. We also think about those in our community seeking jobs. Matthias Weisskopf, Terence Ma, and Gina Lee. Father God, we just pray, Father, for open doors in these people's lives. We pray for open doors, Father God. We call upon open doors. We are reaching in faith, Father God. We're reaching into heaven, Father God, and pulling heaven down on earth in their lives right now in Jesus' name, Father God Almighty. We call upon, Father God, for you to open doors within their lives, Father. And we also speak for patience, Father. For them to have an understanding and a word of knowledge, Father God, for where you've not opened the door for them, where an opportunity comes, Father God, that's not from you, that will challenge them or maybe distract from their lives, Father God Almighty. But Lord, we also ask, Father God, for provision, Father God, supernatural provision within their lives. We ask, Father God, that while they are standing and looking for jobs, Father God Almighty, that they will lack nothing, Father God. We speak, Father God, that we, the body, will have an awareness, Father God, Cover them, Father God Almighty, and circle around them, Father God. Strengthen them, Father God. We will carry them, Father God Almighty. I speak, Father God Almighty, that the body will have an ability, Father God, to see where something is lacking, Father God, and provide unto these our brethren, Father God Almighty. Father, I speak, Father God, your goodness in their lives, Father God, and within this time that they are seeking jobs, Father, may their love for you, Father God, grow even more deeper and profound as you provide for them, Jehovah Jireh, as you provide for them, as you are with them every day, Emmanuel, God with them, Father God Almighty. We just speak this, Father God, and we call upon this within their lives. And Father God, we call for an extension of their faith, Father God, the belief that they have in their hearts, Father God. May this time in them seeking, Father God, be an opportunity for their faith to grow in Jesus' name. Let us pray for our mission focus, for open doors in ministries, missional opportunities, partnerships in Asia, persecuted churches, especially the persecuted church in the Middle East, and I suppose in our neighbors across the waters as well. Let's also lift up the weekend gatherings, baptism that's taking place over the weekend, those committing themselves and making a public statement of their relationship with the Lord, PMC, prison outreach, drug rehab, the migrant workers outreach, Sunday services, Noah's Ark, worship, hospitality, SP Youth, spin and spill services and activities, and Lamb and all other meetings. Lamb has got its weekend retreat this weekend, so let's lift them up as well. Let's also raise up SP Rings for Breakthrough Unity. Oh, it's the Lamb couples, the Lamb weekend retreat that I just focused on. Let's pray for the house churches that's gathering today. It's King's Court, Marwan, Southside and Westside. Breaking the
word today, Father God, but breaking bread together is also something, Father God, that you have taught us through your Son, Jesus Christ. For you always broke bread with his disciples and when he was teaching, Father God. So we speak for your presence. Holy Spirit, we speak for the presence of Christ Jesus. And he's that way.
Let's also pray for Hong Kong. Let's focus our prayer towards Hong Kong. Father God, we just speak of your goodness, Father God. We call upon your goodness, Father God. We call upon your peace that surpasses all understanding into the city of ours, Father God. And Father God, at this moment, we decide to close every gap, Father God. Every spiritual gap, Father God, we close right now with the Spirit of the Lord. We speak of the Spirit of the Lord to go into every nook and crevice, Father God, over this city. And we speak, Father God, for courage in the hearts of the children, Father God, those who call themselves Christians, those who are believers, Father God, for us to rise up, Father God, and to pray over this city nonstop, Father God, to speak of your love and your mercy over this city, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that a week has gone by, Father God, that has been very peaceful, Father God. We thank you that a week has gone by, Father God, with lots of encouraging signs, Father God. I don't care who wants to take a claim. Who wants to claim victory, Father God, that they brought it about, Father God. I don't care. I know that it's you, Lord. And Father God, we just want to cast your love over this city, Father God. We want to thank you, Father God, for what this city has given unto us. The infrastructure that it provides us with, Father God. The safety that it brings. We want to speak, Father God, that this city rise up strong again, Father God Almighty, to become, Father God, not just the global financial hub, Father God, but for this city to rise up, to become a hub known where the Spirit of the Lord is alive and well and functioning within society, Father God. We speak for blessing over protesters, over the police, over the legislative government, Father God Almighty, over the leader of Hong Kong, Father God, Carrie Lam. We speak for your love over them all, Father. We speak for them. We call upon your Spirit to cover them, Father God Almighty, and to carry them in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to encourage you to, you can spend more time in your personal prayer life, and those listening as well. And I thank you for coming here this morning and joining us at CMP. Amen.